Amen. I do too. It just gets me raring to go every time. So I love it. All right. Good evening, everyone. Turn with me, please, to 2 Kings chapter 9, and I'll get us started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for everyone who's with us tonight. I thank you, Lord, for those that will even listen later. I thank you, Father, for the words that you're bringing forth. I thank you for the insight, the revelation, and the understanding that you're bringing forth regarding the times that we're in. And I thank you for the intercessors. Father God, how much we need them. How much the work that's being done depends on the faithfulness of your children. Can it even be measured in this moment? I thank you for them, Lord. I pray that, Lord God, you would settle things around us and that you would make sure that this, the entirety of our evening, fulfills your perfect will, your purpose, your plan. I thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen. So let's start with 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 1. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thine hand and go to Ramoth-Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. And he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of us all? And he said, to thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord, and at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and the house of Baasha, the son of Ahaziah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door, and he fled. Thank you, Father. So, thank you, Father. So I've talked about Jehu before, and I wanted, as I was preparing for this week, and, you know, we start days in advance, the Lord said, go back to Jehu. And as I sought him on this, you know, in 2020, the Lord told me that the judgment of Jehu was upon us. And what is the judgment of Jehu? This addresses the idolatry. It addresses the child sacrifice. It addresses the human trafficking that was taking place in Israel under Jezebel. It addresses corruption in the government. It addresses serious crimes against the nation's most innocent. That's what Jehu was called to address. This prophecy had been given. Elijah told Ahab and Jezebel how they would be taken down. And it took many years before that was fulfilled. But when the appointed time came, when their harvest was due, the Lord sent Elisha, who sent a prophet, to go and release and anoint Jehu to step up and into the place that God had created him to step into. This is a pivotal point in the nation, where the nation sees the destruction, the devastation of leadership that seek to destroy its own citizens. This was a pivotal time in the nation of Israel. Not only was Jehu tasked with taking down Ahab's son and Jezebel, but he was tasked with taking out all of their lineage. He went and he took out over 70 of Ahab's sons. The entire family had been taken out. And because the king of Judah married Ahab's daughter, they too were taken out. The entire lineage of this corrupt system was wiped from the face of the earth. Picture that for a moment. You have been wiped out from the face of the earth because you would not heed the warning of the prophet. So when I take that message and I consider where we are today, that's a very serious thing for the Lord to say. The judgment of Jehu is upon us. And so I sought the Lord on this, and I asked him, give me this correlation and help me see and expound upon this. Because right now in our nation, I see a lot of dark stuff happening. I see an assault on the unborn. I see an assault on newborns. I see an assault on the rule of law. I see an assault taking place on our Constitution. I see an assault taking place on the victims of human trafficking, who this Justice Jackson, who just was confirmed, shows great leniency for those who would assault our children for their own pleasure. I see a tremendous assault on our economy, which always, always impacts those in great state of poverty. I see the assault. And that's the journey he took me through this week. He said, that's how. That's how it is likened to the judgment of Jehu. And I said, Lord, then why is that man, that illegitimate man, sitting in the White House? And the Lord said, they can't be martyrs. I've got to expose them for who they are. Because the judgment that is upon us right now is the judgment upon the ideology of the Democratic platform, the ideology of the progressive CCP-run ideology of the Democrats. And I need the people of the nation to see the truth, because until they do, I cannot set them free from the grip of that system. And as he began to reveal certain things that are about to come, this great sense, this great sense of almost dread fell upon me. And when that happened, he took me back to the hurricane. That hurricane experience he gave me or took me through October of last year. I shared it on this line. It's on our website. You can look it up. It's the hurricane. It's on the Ever Speaking Voice of God page. And it is the hurricane of justice. And when the Lord had taken me through those seven rain bands of that hurricane, and we were in the eye of the storm, where it was very peaceful, he pulled me in to himself, and I felt this great dread fall upon me. That same dread I have felt this week, that same soberness. And as we passed through those seven rain bands, the fear of God fell upon me in greater measure. Greater measure. In greater measure. And he said, I told you then that when this is over, everything will be exposed and I will bring justice. 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 There were seven ways of justice. President Trump, the church, the unborn, victims of COVID, elected officials who are not in their rightful place, the blood of the martyrs past and present, and our flag. And I sat on that. And over the last little bit, I said, Lord, if this is coming, how will it impact your people? He's so wise. God is so wise. And I don't say that lightly because we know the wisdom of God is beyond our comprehension. He's so wise in what he does. This nation, the destiny of this nation, is to be a beacon of light unto all the earth. It's to be the place from which the gospel will pour out. And it is the place from which the end time revival will flow. All over the world. A revival unlike anything we've ever seen. A revival that doesn't just get people saved. It's a revival that changes. It changes us through and through. So that destiny is set. And the Lord has allowed us to experience to the depths of the corruption of the Democrat platform, their ideology, so that when this is over, we will spew that ideology out from our shores. This party, the party of death, that's what the Lord calls them when he speaks to me about them, the party of death, must be extracted from our soil. So we're seeing legislation passed in states that it's horrific, the assault on the unborn. We are seeing omnibus bills passed that is going to thrust the people of this country into greater poverty. They're sending billions of dollars overseas, paid for by the taxpayers. They're sending billions of dollars. The coronavirus has been the greatest wealth transfer in history. The greatest wealth transfer has occurred through COVID. Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, these are people who have more than almost doubled their wealth, and they were already billionaires to the tune of $100 billion. They have almost doubled their wealth. God is exposing it all. And when this is over, we will spew them out of our shores. One of the weights that's on the flag with the eagle, and that's on our website, I've shared it on this line more than once, is that of bloodletting. And we pray about that because right now they are advancing abortion. Why? Because I believe the Supreme Court is going to overturn Roe versus Wade. We're going to see that. The Lord told me I would see it in my lifetime. So these states are trying to pass legislation so they can be sanctuary states for abortion, not for the unborn. Meanwhile, we've got 26 states set with heartbeat bills. Some are the most extreme restrictions on abortion. What a day to rejoice when those governors sign those bills into law to protect the unborn. But those states that are doing just the opposite, I believe the Lord is going to deal with that as well. Now, as this darkness is exposed, I ask the Lord about the church. And over the course of the last week, he had been giving me dreams and some visions, and I'm going to share a couple of those with you because I want to encourage you. You know, we've given some difficult words lately about the economy and what's coming. But the Lord has shown me some things that I feel will truly encourage you and compel you to stay in a position of prayer. On March 31st, I had a vision, and I was in prayer, and I saw a staircase, and it led up to a door, and that there was light emanating from its outer edges. And the Lord was calling. He was calling his people up higher and higher. We began climbing these steps. These steps were so steep that they couldn't carry the baggage of the past. Extracurricular activities, social justice issues, which are not good, or even sin with them up these steps. The further we climbed, the greater the incline. Sin had to be cast aside to enable that ecclesia to climb, to continue to climb. We come as we are through the chaos, through the storms, to fly with the eagles on the other side of that door. And he's calling his people to seek his face and strive to hear the still small voice in the midst of it all. He called us and he beckoned us up, 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 higher and higher above the clouds where the purity of his word pours straight into his vessels and then out to the nations of the earth. And that night, or 2 nights later, I had a dream, and I saw the ecclesia expanding, building the house of God. It was a house of prayer. The greater our increase in numbers, the more the house expanded. There was darkness all around, except where we dwelled. There was space filled with his light, provision, warmth, strength, purpose, and unity. And I felt all of these as we worked together to be his outstretched hands in the earth. And then last night, on the 7th, during last night's prayer call, and my topic was return to God, and I was crying out to God for more of him. The greater my cry, the greater the fire burned within me. It was so intense, the ache within me. I felt like I couldn't even endure it. Suddenly, the Lord appeared before me, and he called me to step into him. And I knew the only way to satisfy the ache within me was to step forward. And when I did, the fire of God burned my heart intensely, and he spoke, the only way to pull this nation up and out is for my ecclesia to come up and into me. And he poured revelation into me. I saw past events, future timelines, and I just felt undone. All I wanted to do was cry. The one thing I knew for sure was that if this nation is to survive this season, the ecclesia must rise and step into their calling. God will bring Trump back. He has the timeline already set, but the ecclesia must arise. We are the stabilizing force in the earth. As the enemy seeks to tear this country apart, we, the intercessors, will keep it together. And then last night I had a dream, I woke up at 11 o'clock last night from this dream. There's a song, it's titled Revive, and it was playing through the duration of my dream. As it played in the background, I saw economic devastation. It was everywhere. Families were walking around with empty baskets, desperate to see even a morsel of provision. Then I saw ecclesia. We were in a place of unity, so anchored in Christ. With one prayer, provision came supernaturally, and then it was distributed. It was happening all over the country. Every time we placed the last bit of our supply into someone's basket, a large cargo crate filled with supplies would appear. It was connected with prayer for provision and obedience to distribute. It always contained whatever was necessary to fill the baskets people were bringing. Everything was so dark at first, but as we filled the baskets, a soft light appeared in our midst. As the distribution levels increased, the light also increased. The Lord picked me up to take me over the land so I could see the nation as a whole. There were many of these in place. They burned so brightly, they even became a light source in their regions. The Lord said to me, this is my ecclesia. They will burn with my fire, yet not be destroyed. I am bringing forth the light of the kingdom through my people. Press in, and do not let up. And I woke up, and yet the song Revive continued to play in my spirit. As I woke up during the night and went back to sleep, this song was still playing in my spirit. I've never had a song play that many hours in my spirit. Here's a few of the lines. Revive, revive, revive your people. You long for passion in your land. Reveal your power by your hand. Breathe on your people. We need revival. Lord, revive us now. I'm ready. Ready to go, Lord. I'm desperate. Desperate for more. Revive. Revive us now. And it's the most beautiful song as you listen to it. And these words just pour into your spirit. All you want to do is climb higher and higher and higher into his presence. This season has been difficult, and this I know. But God is refining his people. He's refining us in such a way. That as we move forward, He's going to be able to use us in profound ways. And know that we will give the glory only to Him. That He will be our focus. He will be our light. He will be our life. He will be the very breath that we breathe. And we will live and we will die to serve Him and be His outstretched hands in the earth. As the darkness is exposed, the ecclesia is rising to become a house of prayer. So as we see these people rise to power, no, their time is short. Their time is short. The important thing is that we continue to go deeper, deeper, and deeper into Him. So at that appointed moment, ecclesia will rise and be His outstretched hand in the earth. There is something mighty coming. We're going to see God move in our nation like we've never seen, not in my lifetime. We're going to see our loved ones saved, healed, and delivered, set free to step into their destiny. We're going to see this generation step into their destiny. We're going to see this nation fulfill its destiny. Be the house of prayer, my friends. We're with you. And we stand together, fulfilling His purpose in the earth. So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this house of prayer that you are raising up, O God, whose focus and whose agenda is only on you, your will, your kingdom being released here in this earth. Strengthen them, encourage them, let them see, O God, the hope set before us, the promise, the fulfillment of those promises in mighty waves in the days ahead. As your Spirit moves, O Lord, in and through us, among us, we avail ourselves to you. That we might be your outstretched hands in the earth. In your precious name. Amen. All right, Mom. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ricky. I need to say, in light of what Ricky has shared, I have been, and it's published in my book, Prepare, I have been talking about these times for decades. And the thing that has pushed it back, pushed it back, pushed it back has been prayer. So when this is going to happen, we really don't know. It could be, I don't know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. We really don't know. There are people who are prophesying, and the pieces of the puzzle are being laid on the table for us to put together. So I don't want you to panic. I want you only to do what she has admonished, and that is to press into God. Press into Him so that there is no fear, because you realize that just as Jesus divided a little basket that a family could eat out of to feed the multitudes, 5,000 men, women, and then also women and children, the same thing will happen when this very difficult time happens. God will take care of His own, and you don't need to be afraid. But if you press into the Lord now, when you see it happening, your heart is not going to be on yourself. Your heart is going to be on meeting the needs of the needy. So pray, rejoice, hold close to the Lord, and be willing to do whatever He has created you to do when things like this begin to come forth in our midst. We still have a great outpouring that has been promised, and a great revival, a great harvest is the word I want, that must come forth. God has done much to prepare for this harvest. That is first and foremost on His mind. So I don't want you to be afraid of what Ricky has shared. It's been knowledge, prophetic knowledge for, as I said, for decades. And when he was giving it to me decades ago, it seemed like it was going to happen tomorrow. But here we are so many, many years later, and it still hasn't happened because we pray and we keep praying. So please keep these things in mind. Don't let the enemy turn your heart into such fear that you don't know what to do. The Lord has given me a word regarding the Democratic Party, the elite, the hierarchy of the Democratic Party. And I felt that I was supposed to share it tonight, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to read it to you. It didn't come in a vision. It came as a word from the Lord. The stolen waters, that is, powers in the nation, will be sweet for a season, but bitter in the end. Can a man betray his own soul and not suffer in the end? Can a dog eat poison and not die a grievous death? What goes around must come around. The boomerang sent forth will return in like manner. Woe to the one who sends forth a heavy stick, for when it returns, will it not bring with it pain of plenty? Pray, therefore, that my intervention will not tarry, and that I will make the crooked places straight. Pray that the bitter waters will turn to sweet, for the one who was the oppressor will fall at the feet of the oppressed. The day of reckoning will bring forth the just measure of the solace of equity. God is great. There is none like him, for he will bring forth the justice of plenty. The rod of chastisement will mete out every man's just due, for there is a purpose for every season under heaven. And I just feel like, I didn't know what Ricky was going to share, but I feel like that this is a confirmation that God has set his heart and his hand to deal with this democratic treachery that's going on. We need to keep praying that God will bring the Democratic Party down and that he will lift up righteousness in this nation. And God will answer and bless that prayer. Ricky, you did a great job, sweetheart. And that was a word truly of the Lord.